There are certain forces in nature that we don't really think about a lot until you see the actual massiveness of the force. The gentleman that we're helping with the women's conference yesterday, we were, we tried to stay out of the way as much as possible and let the ladies be ministered to. We were in here a few times just helping with ushering, greeting, or not greeting, but catching. And so we were in here a few times, but I was out in the foyer a lot. And quite honestly, it's cooler in here than it is out there, especially when you got the doors shut. And if it's in the afternoon, you know, you've got more heat too. And of course, the door to the sound booth was closed as well, so there was no air conditioning blowing out of there either. And it gets a little warm out there. So every once in a while, because of the temperature, I would walk over to the door and just open the door. And it was nice. It was just beautiful. We could not have chosen two better days. Amen. To have a conference. And I'm not complaining. I'm just making a point. There was just a gentle breeze. Nothing major. Just a light breeze. And I'd open the door and you'd feel a little bit of a breeze. I mean, I could just stand. I could have the door just opened a few inches. And you'd feel a little bit of a breeze. And, you know, that was nice. And I'd step outside. I actually went out and looked at the parking lot just to see what it looked like with a lot of cars in it, to have a visual. And, you know, we got pictures of the sanctuary with a lot of people in it to give you a visual, the image, the vision. You know, standing there in the doorway, that gentle breeze is something you don't think a lot about, you know. But there's wind can be a massive force. And when you've got that gentle breeze, you don't think anything about it. But when you're in a stormy season. Now, I lived in Oklahoma for a couple years, and we talk about tornado season here. They legitimately have tornado season in Tulsa. I mean, there is a season where it is tornado season, and you're going to have tornadoes out there. And you say, well, why is that? It's just the way that the formation of the land and the way that storms come through, they go through there. And that's one of the strong tornado alleys in the United States. There's there, and there's Kansas and sections of Texas. And then you've got, and I mean, the winds can be massive. I mean, they can go, a tornado can go over, I think, over 200 miles an hour. I mean, it the one that went through Joplin several years ago, and then not too long ago, they had another one go through. That thing was so massive, it destroyed, I have no idea how wide that was, but it was massive. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about natural forces that we take for granted. We don't think anything about when we got a gentle breeze, but when you've got a tornado, you're thinking about the wind. Then we've got also, you've got water. And, you know, I've got water in this cup. You know, just get me a little drink. You know, that's nice. Don't think about the force of water a whole lot until you have a flood. And when there's a flood, you do not want to be in the way of floodwaters. They will warn you, do not walk out into floodwaters. It can take you away. It can take your car away. It can take your house away. It can take and completely change the topography of an area. It can change the very way that an area looks. These are forces that we take for granted without remotely considering them until the massiveness of the flood takes place. We don't think about it until then. We don't think about the massive winds until we see the tornado, or even more so, a hurricane. A hurricane can be hundreds of miles, and it can affect really the whole East Coast or the southern part of the United States. It can affect a massive area, but you don't think a whole lot about it when you're just playing around on the beach and you got a gentle breeze and you got the water there. With a hurricane, you've got two forces coming together. You've got the wind and you've got the water both. Well, when it comes to the things of God, we take for granted the forces of God until we see them in massive action. What you have experienced this morning, most churches know nothing about. Do not take for granted the presence of God, because the forces of God have the potential to change your life in a moment. I mean in one moment. He will not force himself down your throat, but if he is welcomed in a moment of time, he will come in and he will change things. Now, I want to give you a verse, and let's see if I can find this really quickly. I believe it's in Philippians chapter 2, but I may be wrong on that. Helps if I get into chapter 2. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. I have a whole bunch of notes, but I'm just not being led that direction right now. So we'll just kind of see where God takes us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which works in you. Now, when it says it is God which works in you, it's talking about him working. Now, I have not looked this word up, the word work, but most of the time when the word work is used, it is the Greek word or a derivative of the word erg. Now, if you know anything about physics, that is something that describes a force, and that's where we get energy from. And so it is something that works and has force. And when we see this, it says, for it is God which works in you, or it is God that is within you with such a force that he is able to change things. Okay? For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, Caitlin put that up in the Amplified. This is going to be the new Amplified. I have the Amplified Classic that I have a note that I've written in my Bible. It's okay to write in your Bible. Matter of fact, it's not just written, it's taped in there. You see this yellow thing? That's my note. And it's okay to do that. But it says, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. The Amplified Classic says it just ever so slightly different. It says, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So, when I talk about the force of God, when you allow him access to you by welcoming him, by saying, yes, sir, come in, sir. I open the door to you, sir. Have your way within me, sir. What you do is you allow the force of God to come in. And he not only, it's not all about doing, but you must have the right desires before you do. And this is where one of the problems for many people are, is they don't have the right desires yet. And if we can get them to opening the door and to allowing God to come in and saying, yes, sir, come in. I will allow your force to work within me. He will make deposits within you, not only of empowerment to do, but of desire to do. He will change your want. He will change your want. Had an instructor at Rhema, and many of the instructors at Rhema have done this and used this. But there's scripture which talks about us having freedom to do really what we want. You have been set free in the Word of God. It says it is for freedom that Christ has made you free. So he has set us free, and he has allowed us freedom. And this one instructor of mine, he made the statement, I sin as much as I want to. I just don't want to. God changes your desires. And when we come to him and we throw the doors open, we allow him access to us, then what we do is we let that force then not only empower us to do, but he makes divine deposits within us. Now, I had someone that I was talking to not all that long ago. And this person said to me, I hate my mother. I hate my mother. Now, I don't know all of his past, but I know it wasn't good. And he said, I had someone tell me that, I can't go to heaven because I hate my mother. And I said, you know, there's a prerequisite of going to heaven, and that's believing in Jesus. And I walked him through the steps of being born again. Probably took 3 minutes. And I said, you know, do you believe this? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Yeah, I do. Do you believe that God loves you? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus died for sin and for your sin? Yes. Have you ever asked Him to be your Savior and your Lord? No, I've never done that. Would you like to? I said, yeah, I would. I led him to the Lord. He did not have the desire to forgive yet, but I have been praying for him. God, when he enters your presence, he allows you access to him. Oh, Father, enlighten his eyes to the reality that forgiveness is good, and enlighten his eyes and make a divine deposit within his heart of a desire to forgive. See, before he was born again, he was living in his nature. Now, he has somebody living in him that can make those divine deposits if he will unlock the door and throw it open and allow God to move within him. Now, let's go over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. And this is going to be a familiar couple of verses to you. Don't tune me out. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. There's an interesting word there. In all your ways, acknowledge. Acknowledge him. Give reference to the reality that he is within you, and then give reverence to the reality that he is in you. And then when you do so, throw open the doors and allow him access to you by acknowledging him. Now, last week I talked about God being good, and I spent a lot of time on that. God is good. He is good all the time, and everything that he has for you is good. He has a good plan for you, but he wants to make these deposits within your heart so that he can then have that force of himself empowering you then to fulfill those desires. But you need the desires first. He's there, and he will empower you, but you need to have the desires, or the empowerment is not there for you to fulfill that. But when you have the desire, he will work within you to bring to pass that desire. Why would he do that? Why would he work with me to fulfill that desire? Because it's God-given desire. It's his plan for you. It's his purpose for you. It's his pathway for you. It's his destiny for you. So why would he not empower you? But we need to acknowledge him. We need to give reverence to him. God, you're God. Your plan is good. And I acknowledge you. And I'm going to allow you now to make divine deposits. Let's go over to another familiar verse in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 4. And in Psalm 37 and verse 4, it says, delight thyself also. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Now, when he says delight yourself in him, this is a many-faceted thing. And the way that we typically think of delight is one aspect of it. To enjoy him. To have this relationship with him where you want to be with him. Delighting yourself with him. I've given the illustration before. When I was a child, I did not like family reunions. I hated family reunions. Did not want to go to family reunions. You say, Pastor, how unfamily-ish of you. There's another Earl-ism. I just didn't want to go. I was very childish. And I didn't want to go. But, you know, I ended up at family reunions anyway. Because my mom made me go. I mean, she was either going to grab me by the ear or something, but I was going with her to family reunion. I went. But if you could have seen on the inside, I was like little Johnny that got in trouble in school. Little Johnny gets in trouble in school, and the teacher says, you know, Johnny, stop that. I'm going to get all over you. Johnny, stop that. Third time, Johnny, you do that one more time, and I'm going to stand you in the corner. Johnny did it one more time. She made him stand in the corner. The teacher's watching him, and he's, what was that, Johnny? Nothing. What was that, Johnny? Nothing. What was that, Johnny? I may be standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. And that was my attitude. I may be here, but if you had seen what was going on the inside, it was like drag marks getting me to the family reunion. Delighting yourself in him is enjoying him, is wanting to be with him. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of the word delight is to be moldable or to be pliable unto him, to be moldable unto what he wants, to be pliable unto his will. And that's delighting in him. So I delight in him in that I enjoy his presence. I want to be with him. I rejoice in just being around him. I get to the point where I want to be with him more than I want to be with anybody else. And then I also, not only wanting to be with him, it's not just about having all this fun. I'm then in his presence saying, God, I'm moldable. Mold me into the shape that you want me to be. Bend me into the place that I'm to be according to you. And when I am in that place, and I'm going to take you to another place, which will also use this exact same word here in a moment. He says, when you do that, he makes the deposits into your heart. He'll give you the right desires. So again, when we delight in his presence, he gives us the right desires. When he gives us the right desires, then we can fulfill those desires. But we must acknowledge him. Oh God, I acknowledge your presence. I reverence your presence. I love your presence, and I am yours. Now, does that mean that I'm perfect? No. This is a constant process of growing. I'm always being corrected. The correction of the Lord is not always, you know, just, he's not beating me. You got to understand, when he is correcting me, it's always so that I may experience better and better and better. It's just an amazing thing. What God has for you is so much better than what you can even think. Go over to Isaiah 58. And we've been spending time in Isaiah 58 down in Clay City. And we're going to go to the last two verses of the chapter, verses 13 and 14, I believe it is. Last two verses of Isaiah 58. And the exact same word is used here where it talks about delight. Now, don't get lost in the verbiage here because it's easy to do. And we'll give some explanation. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath or on the Sabbath from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. When God says the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, he says you can book it. You can bank on it. You are guaranteed this came from my mouth and I will back it up with my very own power. Now, what he is saying here, he talks about a delight. And what he is quite honestly saying is, what I call holy, you call holy. And what I call unholy, you call unholy. What I esteem as good, you esteem as good. And what I despise or give no weight to, you despise or give no weight to. That's what he's talking about. And what he says here is when you do that, you are delighting yourself in the Lord. It's really simple. What he delights in, I delight in. God says, oh, I want Laureen to prosper. I want her to be in health. I want her to have everything that I have provided for her. Therefore, I want Laureen to prosper. I want Laureen to be in health. I want Laureen to have everything God has provided for her. And so when I see that she doesn't have everything that God has provided for her, I don't get angry at her. I don't despise her. I don't say, oh, you horrible person. You realize there are people that do that? How dare they despise my sister or my brother? But they do it all the time. Well, they're not receiving from God. I'm not even going to have anything to do with it. No. They are honorable unto the Lord. They are esteemed by God. So I need to esteem them. And I need to desire God's best for them. So I pray for them. I lift them up. I do all that I can. It doesn't mean that I jam scripture down her throat. That's not it at all. I do everything I can to see her prosper because that's what God wants. And it changes my whole perception of life because I begin to look at life, get this, the way that God looks at life. When he says, oh, I shed blood, that person who has chosen to spew out venom toward me might be saved. I have shed blood that person that has spoken negatively of you, that has been harsh to you, that has even abused you, might have life. Oh man, that changes my perception, because I see them then the way that he sees them. And when I see them the way that he sees them, that means I'm going to do everything that I have the ability to do to see them receive what he has provided. So we delight ourselves in him by choosing what he chooses, by honoring what he honors, by disesteeming and calling shameful what he disesteems and calls shameful. If God doesn't like it, I don't like it. That doesn't mean that I'm hateful to people. That's not it at all. But it does mean that I choose what he chooses. And when I do that, he puts within me his desires. Well, then when he puts within me his desires, going back to where we began in Philippians chapter 2, the very force of God is there. He gives me the right desires. And then not only does he give me the desires, but he gives me my enablement to do my part. And he gives me everything I need to stand until I see his part completed. And there may be a little bit of a gap. And it shouldn't be until I die. We should see it in this life. For he has provided what we need in this life. But don't take for granted the force of God in your life. I mean, it is a force that is able to move heaven to get to you and to move people out of the way to get to you. It is able to part the Red Sea for you to go through. It is able to cleave asunder the mountain to make a way for you. It is able, when an army is standing against you, to take care of the army in a single night. It is the power of God that can raise the dead, that can recreate that which has been destroyed, which can straighten out that which has been twisted, that can give me right thoughts, that can heal even my brain, which maybe people have said, that will never happen. God has said, they don't know me. God is able. And that word able is powerful. It means powerful. God is powerful. And so, when we acknowledge him, we open the door for him. You know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, we'll come in and we'll sup with him. We'll make our abode with him. We'll live with him. But when he comes, we acknowledge him. We honor him. We reverence him. And we give him the ability, with our honor, with our reverence, with our respect, with our communion with him, to forcefully within me bring me revelation of his plan, to make divine deposits of his desire, and then to give empowerment to do my part. And there's another word, and he will make deposits, not only grace deposits, which are the empowerment, but hope deposits. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that he will put within you everything you need. See, hope is a joyful and confident expectation of a positive end. And he will make hope deposits. In other words, he'll give you what it takes to stand and to be consistent in the process until your harvest arrives. Does that make sense?